Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I want to invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good morning. I have lost my voice from cheering for my sons in baseball yesterday, but bear with me. I want to tell you guys a story. It's about a little tiny boy, and he was probably about your age, okay? He was probably about that age, and he was very sad because he didn't have any parents in his life. And they have the system, the world was trying to help him. Oh, there's more coming up. Come on up. I hear him. Anyways, they did not have any parents in their lives. And there was people trying to help them, but they were kind of getting shuffled around. And then finally, this little boy, he got to go to a house, and they went to church, and guess what happened? When he went to church, and everybody was in church, they all started singing, and the boy sat quietly. And for a couple weeks, nobody really said anything. They wanted to give him space, but finally somebody said, I think one of his parents, why don't you try to sing with us? And he said, I don't know how to sing. Nobody'd ever sung with him before. That's kind of an interesting thing to think, but he didn't really think he could sing. And they said, you know what? That's not how singing works. We can all sing together, and you just do it. Kind of like riding a bike. You just start doing it. Well, and that's not like riding a bike. Sorry, bad example. Anyways, so the next week, his little voice shared a couple words. And you know what? He didn't know how to sing very good yet. He was kind of trying to learn, and sometime when he sang, it was a little off tune, but with everybody else's voices, with all of the people together, it sounded beautiful. And each week, he started to like that because he'd felt alone a lot. And he found that all of a sudden, he wasn't alone. That when he sang, it wasn't just his voice. It was all of these other little voices. Well, guess what? As that little boy grew up older and older, he learned to become one of the best singers. And as he grew older, he decided, I love singing so much that I'm going to be a singer. And he became a professional singer, one that everybody, when they heard his voice, thought, wow, how is it so beautiful? And I want you to know that it started out that he didn't think it was beautiful at all. And in fact, when others heard it at first, they weren't sure. But what they all knew is that he was invited to sing along with them. I like that story because it reminds us that that's what God sees in each of us. We may not have all the gifts that we think we need, but we have each other, and we can share the gifts that we have. And it may be that something that you didn't think was your gift as you get older will be your greatest gift. And the way that that's going to be work is by working with other people, because together we can share these things, and God works through us, and the Holy Spirit works through us to develop our gifts. It's part of the reasons we love to be together. Can you pray with me? Dear God, help me to see my gifts and also other people's gifts, and help us share them. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Appreciate it. We had a synod event where the theme was many voices, one song. And I thought that those words resonate with me. And so as I think about the conflict, the inherent conflict, there will always be as churches deal with one another. I'm reminded that those words, many voices, one song, remind us that God is working in ways beyond our understanding, in ways that are bigger than we are, in ways that we will never fully understand. But I trust in God's promise. And I also trust that working together as the church, that we will persevere, that the Holy Spirit will work through us, and that God's word will continue to reign in our world. And even when I struggle, when I don't see that happening in the world, I'm reminded that each and every generation has been in that same place, wondering, whatever issue it is, how we are going to make it through this one. Today, as we continue to explore conflict and unity, and how we are still knit together in Christ, we hear another of Paul's letters, and it's the early church's struggle with, of all things, itself. My newer title to this sermon, though, if I had had a title, if I do that, would probably be something like, you know, be careful what it is that you make your foundation. Because I think then and now, that becomes the red thread of this message and really the crux of the issue. Be careful what it is that you make your foundation. For when it comes down to it, we can guess that the issues they had back then in Paul's days weren't so different from the issues that we have now. We can fall in love with a lot of things in our churches and our lives, and we can make those close to the foundation of who we are, something that's very important to us. And that's all fine and good. Many of these things can be wonderful things. I mean, even in our own churches, we can fall in love with our church. We can fall in love with our connections at church, our leaders, our style of worship, our building, our favorite ministries. We can fall in love with a certain song. All of these are good things, unless they become the main thing. For the early church, they were focused at this time on the leaders of their church. I don't know all of the ins and outs of this, but remind yourselves that they had not the history of the church that we had had. And so they started to see their leaders as being so integral to their faith. Not that that doesn't still happen, but so integral and not having seen anything else, that they started to say things like, oh, you were baptized by Crispus, huh? Oh, I was baptized by Gaius. I think Gaius was probably better. I mean, look at our church compared to your church. We're doing more. Maybe you should be baptized now by Crispus. They weren't thinking about, wait a second, this baptism is in Christ Jesus. It's not in Crispus. It's not in Gaius. It's not in Pastor Michael or Pastor Lita or whatever church you were baptized in. It's baptized into Christ Jesus. And so Paul was urging the early church to remember that in all things, our foundation is Christ Jesus. I think this is a message that we can always find time to ponder about. But in pondering, I realized there was still a struggle for me in the exact issue. I didn't even know what it was. I believed it, but as I reflected on it, there was something tugging at me. I was stuck. And as I was stuck, I took a walk, actually, to just think about this issue. What was it? I couldn't even come up with what it was that, because I knew this to be true, that we are better together. And then I realized this is what it is. First of all, I'm in a church body whose namesake is not Martin Luther, is not always known as a unifier of the church. I mean, the Protestants, the protesters, are named out of us, out of our namesake. And if you haven't noticed also, Martin Luther trying to live out his faith, causing that, excuse me. Martin Luther, in trying to live out his faith, caused us to separate from the greater church in some form or fashion. So I asked myself, was he the problem? And therefore, as a Lutheran, am I part of the problem? It really got me thinking for a moment. I realized to begin with that first and foremost, it's important, I think, that all of us as Christians are always pondering this issue. I think we should always be looking and saying, how can we be unified? How can we be unified as one people? Because when we are unified, that little voice that sits down with us can learn to sing and learn to sing better than we ever imagined. So it's always a pitfall. And God's desire for us is to be one. We should always seek to find common ground with our brothers and sisters in the world, in whatever Christian denomination that's out there, in all of the world. And I'm aware that we don't have all the answers and that God works through the universal church that is greater than the one that I am a part of, or that the one that I identify with, I should say. I'm also aware that it is possible for us to be moving in the wrong direction at times as a church. And in this, I am thankful that the greater church can also help us as we find our way. In this, we are called to continually ask ourselves how we center ourselves on God's word and what the Spirit of God is calling us to. But on my walk, that was the other piece. That was the tension between all this desire for unity and then realizing, as I look at the church here at Our Savior's Lutheran over the past few years and really over the past century, I'm aware that the Spirit of God has been calling us to some things that other churches have not felt that call to. And I thought of the conflicts that we have with other church bodies, in which I actually am proud of who we are as a church, standing apart from some of them. I mean, some of the issues that we disagree on have defined us. In our church, this very day, we have had people who've joined our body because other churches have told them that they weren't welcome for communion because they were divorced and now remarried. We have had people join us because other churches said their extended family couldn't commune because they were members of a different church. We have had people join us because they were told that because they were gay and in a committed relationship, they weren't welcome to be members. We have had people join us because they were part of a church where women weren't allowed to be pastors. And they realized that for them, that was a big deal, and that people should be treated as equal, and that when we worship, we should testify to a God who sees men and women as able to share these gifts. We have seen all of these things, and we have come to be this church, but this is still a church in Christ Jesus. So how do we navigate those two things? Our desire for unity with our desire for justice, and to work with the living word of Christ throughout the church, knowing that sometimes we struggle with the church. It does come down to remembering our core identity. And at our center is this belief that is based on the word. But it is not simply the word of Scripture, which we will argue over and study and struggle with all of our lives. But as we struggle with the word that is Scripture, we remind ourselves that it is the word made flesh that will always bring us together, because it is rooted and grounded in forgiveness and grounded in grace. And in those two things, when we struggle with one another, we still have this solid ground we are on. You know, your identity is shaped by so many things. What clothes you wear, where you go to school, grow up, what church you go to, where you live. But ultimately, as you may worry about the brands that you wear, the one brand that matters is the one that was given you in baptism. You are marked with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit forever. Who is it that knits us together? Whose creation are you? We are centered on this one that formed us. And so as we hear this conflict long ago, we can imagine this conflict did not go away. We can also imagine that as soon as one thing is settled in our church today, I mean the greater church, another conflict will emerge. This is not the story of just the church. This is a story of humankind. But the good news is that God promises to be with us, that the Holy Spirit is here, that we have been given this guide of Scripture, and we have been given Jesus who forgives, who brings grace, draws us all together as the body of Christ. And whether as individuals in one church struggling with someone we disagree with, or one church comparing themselves to another, we can remind ourselves that we are all the church universal, that we are all belonging to God. And this is good news, because we should continue to fight for justice, but we should continue to be a church that welcomes those that we struggle with, welcome them to our table, because it is not our table, it is God's table. And so those that we struggle with will know that we believe in the church universal, and we believe that in some cases they are wrong, but that's okay, because in some cases they believe that we are wrong. But what we trust in is that God is there, and God is with us, and we lift that up for the church universal. Amen.